Coming up in this episode of the KickCast, a water bottle that reminds you to drink, a hinge that stops the door wherever you want, and organize your cooler with Joey. So sit back and relax. It's time for the KickCast. Hey everybody, it is time for the KickCast, the podcast where we go out, find crowdfunding projects for you, and let you know if you should backtrack or sack them. I am KT Data, one half of the show, and joining me is a man who works so hard, his doctor had to say, whoa, slow down, and you don't have to be a superhero every single minute, the one and only Drew Tyler. How you doing today, my friend?
I'm feeling great. I get to go see the doctor tomorrow, and he's going to talk to me about my shoulder that's been hurting for 7 months, so I finally got that in there. So, yep, I got to listen to the doc. But that's how hard I work.
Is he gonna go like pull out the kryptonite that's like some your arch nemesis secretly stuck into your shoulder or something?
Yes, it's like that. What is it? Extract it.
Yeah, extract out. I'm not gonna lie, but if we're wondering who your arch nemesis is, I bet you it was Steve. He snuck in the kryptonite.
Yeah, it could have been Steve, but I'm trying to figure out what my kryptonite would be. Would it be like salt? Like it's just a big block of salt.
Analog medium.
just wrapped up in my
traditional
arm.
News cycles.
Yeah. That would kill me.
Weddings, wedding videos. There you go. That's it. All right. So if this is your first time watching the show, and I know we see a couple new names in our chat room tonight, first of all, welcome. It's always a good time, and it's always my favorite time. During the every 2 weeks we do this to hang out with Drew a little bit. So, it's all a good time. So before we jump into our projects, we have a little bit of news to cover on the show. And this was an interesting one because we probably mentioned it on the show, but I don't remember this at all. So last year, Kickstarter had announced their hardware studio, which was an initiative with them, Avnet, and Dragon Innovation. So those were two hardware companies that are specializing in like manufacturing and helping companies get there. So they created the Hardware Studio Connection, and that lets creators talk one-on-one with the and get advice from these electronic manufacturing companies, because that's always been the biggest problem, right? Like one of our news articles that we're going to have after this is partially based on this. But then they didn't really do anything with it. So they announced a couple days ago that now that anybody who's been accepted into that hardware studio will have a badge under the video that says hardware studio. So, you know, they've kind of been vetted once for that.
Okay, that's nice. That's a handy way to kind of show that they've gone through something or you're working with somebody that's been counted on. That's helpful.
Yep. So, and then on top of that, what they're also doing is that you'll see another badge somewhere on the page, because I think they give them a little more leeway where they can put this. But there's going to be an insignia, and then it's going to have kind of different statuses so you know which level of the project is at. So first one is engaged, which means that the project was accepted into the program. And then they also have ready level 1, 2, and 3. And those have kind of different levels on how ready the project or how developed the project is. So if you actually look on their website, they tell you what happened. So, of course, you have the engaged, and then level one, they'll have a badge looking kind of like this. And it'll say, based on a review prior to launch, the product is on track but still in the prototype phase. Some user testing has been completed on a functioning prototype. Current prototype demonstrates most of the intended features. Successful campaign will fund additional work with third-party manufacturing design resources, certifications, toolings, and or material costs prior to fulfillment. And then product can be produced on low volume, so about 100 pieces at approximate target cost. And then additional funds may be needed to fund production depending on their final volume. So that's level one. That's kind of for that. Level two, it's all of that plus product is able to be manufactured at expected volumes and production plans are in place. Funding via Kickstarter is needed to purchase production tools and materials and certify the product. And last but not least, product has undergone several design iterations based on feedback from user trials and demonstrates refined functionality. So it's a little bit of, it's not quite just, you know, on pen and paper. There's a product and it's almost ready to go, big time. And then level three, this product is ready for manufacturing and delivery risks are relatively low. Product is fully developed, just needs Kickstarter campaign to fund manufacturing. This is the one that, you know, I think people should strive for, because that, right. Like, I think as a backer, when you see level three and possibly level two, those might make you feel a little better if you're worried about them just taking the money and running, right?
Right. It just feels like it's a vetted process, and that's like a nice stamp of approval that says we've been working with them, we've helped them to foresee any, you know, obstacles or problems coming. Scalability is there. Like, that's a fantastic answer for people to be able to see that badge and just know that, oh, hey, they've already worked through those troubles, and so it's less of a risk. And then those bigger ticket items, it'd be much easier to back those. So, which kind of leads us to the second set of news we're going to hit up briefly. That there's a project that, how long ago was that? So a little over a year ago?
About...
Fell apart?
Yeah, so I think we may have mentioned it, or I remember looking at this. But you guys know that I am a huge headphone fan. Like, I enjoy headphones. I have very many, many unhealthy. Pairs. It's yeah. Not unhealthy yet.
It's almost.
But almost, I'll admit that it's almost unhealthy. But so this one was the company OSIC, and they wanted to develop 3D audio headphones. So if you guys remember about a year or two ago, when actually longer than that, when the Oculus first was announced, right? You saw this boom of VR headsets come out. And the problem with all those is you still had to wear your own headphones. And it, depending on what headphones you had, it wasn't as immersive. So their goal was to develop a pair of headphones that would give you that 3D audio. So kind of like when you're in the movie theater and you know, you're waiting for the movies to start and the Dolby theme comes on, and it's where we're all around you. Yep, and it kind of goes around like that. They wanted to replicate that in the headphone form so you can have a more immersive VR headset or VR experience. So a couple days ago, they just announced that they're shutting down the company and you're not getting a refund, and they only ended up making, what was it, about 250 pairs of headphones total that got sent out to people. That was after they raised $3.2 million across Indiegogo and Kickstarter. And then I believe they also got some additional funding from investors for about that much too. And they're shutting down the doors. So this is kind of a reminder to you that sure, Kickstarter may have some stuff, but sometimes it just doesn't work out. So like, how do you feel about a company like this shutting down versus somebody just taking your money and running?
Well, I'm still crushed. I think either way I'm crushed. One way would be like, oh, well, I should have seen that coming. This one feels like everything was in order and they were running for a number of years. Like, they were kind of working on the research and development for a couple of years on this. And they had several levels of proof of concepts. They had things where they had completed these 250 units and delivered the first one to a couple of backers. I guess I'm just crushed because they were, as they put it, and in fact, they say this on their like open letter that they wrote on their website, but they said, this is not our desired outcome. The team worked exceptionally hard and created a production ready product, technological performance breakthrough. And so to fail at the 5-yard line is a tragedy. We're extremely sorry. We can't deliver your product. We want you to know the team has done everything possible, including investing in our own savings and working without salary to exhaust all the possibilities. And so, I mean, it's hard for me to, I mean, I read that and I go, wow, if you're within like 5 yards, shouldn't somebody come up and give you a gimme? You know, isn't there somebody that can kind of help?
But as somebody who's tried to raise money, that sometimes that's the hardest thing, because they're like, wait, you've already raised money and you still don't have this done yet? Like, that's a risk factor to some people.
It's like, you can put another million in and it's not going to get you over the finish line. Like, you're not going to be able to deliver it. This isn't going to happen. So it's tough. It's quite genuine of them to say, like, we put our own savings into this, we ran without salaries, and we just got this close. But then, I don't know, the normal layperson, like, I suppose me, I go, okay, so if I gave you $600 for a pair or however much, they were pretty pricey. But you came up with $3 million alone from Kickstarter. Where did that money go? And so they do explain that in some of their letters, but I feel like that is what a lot of people would think. You know, if somebody runs away with your money, you go, oh, okay, that's hookers and blow? Like, that's where I know where the money goes. Company like this, you go, how did you get this far how did you get this far with that much money and not be able to get yourself over the line? Like, what part did you screw up? And they kind of mentioned some of their pain points were the lack of adoption for VR, for one, and then the stretch goals. They were saying stretch goals killed them. Anyway, just one that I think we wanted to bring up to kind of mention that it's never a sure thing.
Yeah.
Even the best prototype and plan, never a sure thing.
Yeah, sometimes it works. And like DMAX says, Kickstarter is kind of like gambling. So that's why we mentioned it, I think, on a couple episodes ago that you should research stuff before you end up backing projects and stuff. And what was that acronym that we had? It was like HEAT or something, right? Or BEAT.
Yeah, something
like that. But you should research it. That's what I try to do before I back a project now is I'm a little more skeptical when it comes to companies that it's their first time on Kickstarter.
Right.
Like, but if I see that they've done it a couple times, I'm actually a little more inclined to back a project now. Or I've developed this weird sixth sense on crowdfunding projects too, where I look at the goal and it's like, is this goal a reasonable amount? You know, because you see some of these hardware projects that they only want $500, and I'm just like looking at them like,
what?
Can you even get a prototype for that much?
Right.
Which is always interesting. All right, so on to our next piece of news. This one's a great one. Drew, I know you're a tinkerer. I actually saw you tinkering a little bit with voice services. I won't say their name because I'll probably set off somebody's voice service, right?
My assistant and she's my friend and I love to hate her.
Yeah, and she's from Amazon is the one specifically.
Which could set off someone.
Oh, does that? Oh, dang it.
My girls, because they each have their own little dot in their room, each one goes by computer, one goes by Amazon, and one goes by Alexa. So they'll walk into the wrong room and they'll call the wrong name and I'll be like, it's not your personal assistant. This one's mine. Her name is Alexa. Yeah, but I play with them a lot.
Yeah, so that's great because I saw you tinkering with the lights and stuff.
So good.
So this might be up your alley. So you know the Arduino, right? The Arduino Uno. These are kind of your Internet of Things. You know, these are your prototyping boards, essentially, right? That allow you kind of to do things. So what Indiegogo and Arrow are doing is they're launching a contest called the Internet of Arduino Challenge. And what they want you to do is to put together a Internet of Things idea. So the example they have is there's this company called Tersa Steam. It was like a shirt or a clothing care system. And they used an Arduino to write their first prototype. So what they're doing is they're doing this challenge. You can submit your Arduino-based Internet of Things idea. And then if they pick it, you'll go through the Arrow certification program, which I think is great because Arrow is the manufacturing partner of electronics they had. They're actually the ones who gave me this Arduino because I got it at CES. And then possibly win $50,000 in funding to make your project come to life. So you have until August 31st, 2018 to submit your design and you could win for funding for it. And I mean, like you look at it, the Arduino is just this tiny little thing that you can play with.
Right.
And see, like, I still have the sticker for Arrow on the back of mine. but yeah, they were handing these out at CES, so I picked up one.
And they've always been so inexpensive and easy to play with. A lot of people will build, like emulators for old NES games, that kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. And build it on their
And these are great for prototyping. Like, say you wanted to build, say your lights that you built, you want them to automatically turn on when you walk into a room. You could put an IR sensor on this and then program it so when it detects some change in the room, bam, your lights turn on.
This is my next step. This is it.
Yeah, and you see a lot of the cosplayers with their light effects and stuff. A lot of them have these Arduinos in their props or weapons or stuff to kind of play the sounds and do all that stuff. What's nice about Arduino is they've made it so easy to go in and modify code so that way you can get it to work whatever way you want. So if you guys have an idea, and Drew, you might have an idea too. Maybe you'll submit and you'll win it. And then we might see, Drew Tyler created Indiegogo project that just goes gangbusters.
Awesome.
You know, you could build like a dog door detector or something, so you know when your puppies are going in and out of the house.
Yeah. I got this. I'm gonna dream up something amazing.
All right.
I'm gonna put something on my Tide packet and make sure that I know when the kids are eating the Tide pod.
They don't do that anymore. They're sniffing condoms now.
That's right.
We got to keep up with the times. You know. All right. So now it is time for, we don't have any kick shouts this week. So if you have a project you want us to mention, shoot us an email, kickcast@ktdata.net, or tweet us at kickcast@ktdata or at night20, and we'll mention your project on there. All right. So for our first project of the night, Drew, this is sort of a repeat, but this is a repeat from like 4 years ago. I think it was a long time ago when we covered the first project for this. I'm looking right now, 2013. So it's been 5 years. I think we're okay, right, for a repeat.
Wow.
So I've been trying to live a slightly healthier lifestyle, even though some people in the chat may not believe me. One of the things for a better lifestyle is you got to drink a lot of water and stay hydrated, right? Especially recently, I've noticed that I have not been doing a good job of staying hydrated. Drinking a lot of energy drinks, but not enough water to compensate. But one of the problems is, and I think you run into this too, is when you're working on a project, sometimes you're just like zoned in, and the next thing you know, 8 hours has passed, right? And you're like, holy crap.
Yeah, I don't pay attention. I don't pay attention at all. I get to the end of the day and I'm going, wow, I have a headache. I don't feel good. And my wife will say, did you drink any water today? Like, she knows.
Yeah, you know it's bad when you're not even drinking any of the soda.
Yeah.
So our first project for tonight is called the Equa, and it is a smart water bottle. So what happens is it's kind of your standard metal water bottle that's double insulated, but on the bottom, there's actually an LED light and it has Bluetooth. And what will happen is it will light up when you need to take a drink of water. And then it tracks how much you drink, cause it has its sensors in there to see how much you've been drinking the day, and you can track it and figure out how much water you need to drink, to make sure you have a daily optimal water intake for that. So if some of you who have been watching for over 5 years now are like, wait a minute, didn't you guys talk about something like this? I remember, because this was one of the first projects that you and I twinsied on to back, and it never funded. And so you guys are thinking of the Blue Fit bottle.
It never funded.
Yeah, it never funded because they only got $75,000 out of the $150,000 they needed. And this was the water bottle, and this one is actually it's a little bit bigger than the Equa that you have, but it was a glass one instead of kind of that metal one that you have that's double insulated.
Right,
And I think it's a little bit bigger, and this sticks out more than I think the other one does, right? They kind of had the similar things where you could track your water intake, and then you could send buzz notifications. So that was it. And I looked at the prices. They're actually fairly comparable, because for this, the couples was 110. I think that was the one that we backed, right? So it would be about 55 each for the Equa. I'm probably saying it wrong. I looked it up too right before I started, and I'm probably saying it wrong.
Is
the super early birds 48 or about 58 for 55 for the water bottle. So I actually kind of like this a little bit more. So it holds a little bit less water, but I like how it's insulated, so your water can stay cold or hot for, you know, 12 to 24 hours, depending on what you want. And it just looks a lot more low profile. Like, you see everybody carrying around these water bottles like this right now. What's great is they made sure the hole in the water bottle is wide enough so you can actually put ice cubes into it. Because I've run into water bottles where you can't do that, and then you have to do the fill it half and then put it in the freezer. Yep. I don't like doing that at all.
Dishwasher safe, Bluetooth connected. It looks classy.
Yeah.
Are you and I going to double down and back this one now?
I don't know. Are you going to do it? Because I think when we did it, we were joking that we would send each other notifications and have competitions on who's drinking the water. I don't know if I can do this on this one or not.
No, I don't know that you can combo it, but you could still keep track and get the BFF deal.
But
Put your name on the bottle?
Yeah, I don't know. Is this a back track or a sack
it's
for
a
you,
back
man?
For me. I loved that blue fit from however many years ago.
I can't believe that was 5 years ago. That means we've been doing this show for over 5 years.
It's unbelievable, and it's wild that I can't say it took this long for somebody else to come up with the idea, but these guys look like they're on track. They look like they're going to do just fine. They're asking for $50,000. They're already at $42,600 with another month to go. It feels like it's going to happen. I think, like, tier-wise, like you said, it seems pricey, but you're getting a kind of high-tech, fancy water bottle with the Bluetooth in it. Probably the right price point. The BFF 2-pack for $96?
Yeah, we don't get it engraved, but it's cheaper, because what is that, $43 each? $48 yeah. each? As you guys
That's
can see,
deal,
I did math
man.
Wrong. Yeah, it's... yeah, it's,
I think it's a deal.
Yeah, I think, yeah, so it's $48 each, so it's a little cheaper than what we were talking about earlier. And then I think it's both Android and iOS, right?
Yep, I saw that. Yep.
Okay, so, yeah, like, this, I think this is back. Are we going twosies into this one?
I would do it. I'd do it with you. I think All this right. is a fantastic project. I love that idea of the blue fit, even though it did look a little, like, I guess 5 years ago it was right in.
5 years ago, I think glass, it's funny how water bottles go through fashions changes. Like, it's weird, right? But, like, that was the thing, right? Back then it was glass water bottles. Now it's these aluminum ones.
But it just looks good. Just looks really good. I love that kind of space gray look on the black one. I love the fact that it would just light up on the bottom. That alone would probably be enough to remind me to be like, oh, hey, yeah, that's full of water. I should sip it.
Yeah, and I it looks so unintrusive. The other thing was the Bluefit one had, like, the little straw thing too. So you'd have to, like, you use the straw for this. This one, you can just drink it like a normal one. Then that's what I like about it. So, yeah, this one's definitely a back for me. And I think I've seen some other water bottles go through the ages, but they still kind of looked like the Bluefit. And at that point, I'm like, yeah. My only drawback is I've looked at this. They haven't finished their specs for it, but right now I believe they use the little watch button batteries for it. That's my only negative about it, is that when the battery dies, and I think they said it was like a 6 month battery or something like that. 6 months. So it runs Bluetooth and it says 6 month battery, but then you're going to have to go buy one of those watch batteries. That is my only slight negative about it.
It is replaceable. Like, you can.
Yeah, you can replace it, but you know, you're going to go buy it. Like, I would have preferred a USB one. You know, they're thinking about it. I look through the comments and there's people discussing about it. So they may change it before this actually ships. And the other thing about this, again, we're kind of going back to talking about doing our research. This isn't their first project they've launched. So they've done a goat mug, and then they've done a pour over coffee thing. So they've done these projects before. And if you notice, both of them are projects that Kickstarters loved. So that's always a good story.
Dylan, right? Yeah.
And then the other thing I normally do is, like, we'll go to this and then we'll look at the comments and see if they've gotten, wow, he's still answering some of these for their questions that people post. Like, 2 days ago was the last one. And cool. I'm looking at it and, like, you know, sometimes you get mixed stuff, but you know, a lot of people seem to be okay with this, or they're still asking for questions and they're responding. So that's a good sign for the project. So yeah, this definitely is a back for me, and it looks like Drew and I are just going to get that.
We're gonna BFF it.
Yep. Quick shout out to Alex from Double Burst. He's too cool to hang out with us anymore. He's always working to get the bills paid. Who does that, right? All right.
Came up on that a long time ago.
All right, on to our next project. So this one actually you may be thinking about this, because especially have you little kids. So have you ever had the situation where your kids are coming into the house and they just, like, shove the door open, right? And then it just, like, hits on the side of the wall. They haven't done it where there's, like, a hole in that caused the hole in drywall, right?
Not yet.
But yeah, that's one of those problems, right? And so this project is, they call it the first customizable door or door hinge and door stop, which I was like, what? Door stop?
Door hinge and door stop.
Yeah, so this is cool. So, Drew, you want to explain what this is?
Well, this HingeWorks is a totally rethought hinge, door hinge. Most door hinges, and I've been playing with them in the new house, but most of them are very simple. Like all door hinges, you put a center post down through the middle of it, and then the door swings open and closed. And then you put those ugly little rubber stoppers on the wall or on the door, depending on which one you want to hit, so that the handle doesn't go through the wall, you know, or it doesn't bang into somebody. Anyway, they're unsightly, those door stops. They look like giant
like warts. Yeah, like you either have the pokey one or the wart looking one, right?
Yes, right. Yeah, you know, those are them.
Man, we are DIY experts. The pokey one and the wart one. The
pokey one. So I have lots of pokey ones in this house. In fact, when we first did our final walkthrough and came through, the door in the laundry room needed to be repaired because it had been open too far and put a hole in the drywall. And they repaired it and it looks good. But this customizable door hinge, this HingeWorks, is kind of a brilliant remake of the hinge. Now, it's certainly pricey, but with this hinge, the way that it works is that you can take the hinge part and the metal post that goes down in between the hinge, you know, the two parts of the hinge, has raised pins on it. So you can set the door to as wide open as you want or as closed as you want so that it won't go past that point. And you pull the hinge, the post out of the back, and you twist it a certain direction. And this has these, like, stoppers. If you twist it and put it back in, as soon as it's fully seated, the little stoppers hit the wall from the other side of the hinge, not the wall, but like the edge part of the hinge. And so it will not open past that point. So if you don't want to put this rubber stoppers all over your house, or if you don't want to have the little wart guys, you know, sitting down there protecting your walls, you buy one of these hinges for every door and you can set its openability. Like, you can set how wide it goes. It's brilliant to me. Like, it really is an amazing thing, and I want to play with an actual hinge to see the magic, because it feels like one of those, like, you know, those lock toys, what are they, like the, like...
Oh, those puzzle things, right? Yeah.
Like, well, puzzle things, it's like, you got to roll this way, and then roll this way, and then roll that. So this feels like that kind of idea, but they're very simple. You twist it, you set the how high or close you want it to be, and then you put the pin right down in that spot, and it only drops in that spot. So it won't go past it. I think that would save a lot of holes in walls. I think it will save, you know, some people want to put things behind a door. In the project, they explain, like, maybe you want to decorate this way, but you can't or won't because you're afraid of the door slamming into it. You know, like you said, kids coming home, they don't think about that. They just swing the door open, and if there's a sofa table behind it, some decorative stuff, it just gone. So this would allow you to have that kind of peace of mind and kind of set up those doors wherever it made sense. At first I was watching the video and they had all these hilarious.
Yeah, I thought that was a little. I'm like, who puts a picture right behind the door? Yeah.
One was a photo frame where the glass was so low that it was right behind the doorknob. And I was like, come on, I know you're proving a point, but if you're hanging a picture frame right where the door handle slams into the wall, you're doing it to yourself. Like, nobody does that. The other one was a little girl hiding behind the door, cute little girl hiding behind the door. And when it swings open the first time, they, you know, they cut away right away. But you kind of get
just like,
she just got bellied with the doorknob. But then it comes back and it says, we fixed that problem, and here's the door stop hinge. And then it, you know, it swings open and it stops like 3 inches from her. And she's like, I didn't love the video. I thought it was a little over the top, but it did prove the point.
Yeah.
I just think there are more realistic examples. Like, I think I would have been sold if you would have just said, do you see this ugly little thing that makes this noise?
Let's get rid of that.
And then here's the answer. I would have been like, you got it. I would love it. Because my Roomba runs into, we named our Roomba Winston. So Winston runs into those things and he won't clean around them because he'll hit it and then go the other direction instead of through. I hate him. I think those things are ugly. So this HingeWorks, I think, is a brilliant idea. I just realized when I chose it as my project that it's a Utah project.
Yeah, it's in the same city that I work in, so you probably could go see this in person if you wanted to before you backed it. Like, I'm really like, I'm like, Drew, should we like message them and say, hey, you know, we do this podcast, we want to talk to you guys, and then just, you know, have you go sneak over there and try them? Because I mean, you just have a new house, so you're thinking of these things right now, right? So.
Right, I do, and I haven't. I think that's what got me is that several of their examples. I was like, ah, no, I'm not worried about that. But then they got to like, you know, the twingy thing and a couple other things. Like my front door that goes into the hallway is pretty wide. The hallway is really wide, so I'd love to put some things in there. So the decoration is like, oh, I could do that now. So I really like this. I think it's a fantastic idea, and I think what I loved about it and why I chose it as my project today was because it just. Nobody thinks about revolutionizing the hinge.
Yeah.
Hinges have been around for eons. And finally somebody goes, we did this. And I think it's so brilliant. They're still a little pricey for me. Like retail is probably going to be $20 a hinge. And there's no answer yet quite on whether a hinge can be. You know what? They just answered this an hour ago. There's the answer. The answer was, do you have to have one hinge per door, or do you have to have like all two or three hinges on whatever your door setup is? All three hinges have to be these hinge works. And one of the collaborators is saying ideal setup is three per door, so it evenly distributes that stop force. So there's the answer to that. So you're looking at like nearly another $60 retail to get a door to stop where you want it to. That seems a little high for me.
But is it worth it to save all your stuff?
It might be worth it to have that feng shui in the house so I don't have to worry about those little tarted bling wings. But there's also, like, you get three of them for $20, so it's almost $40 off if you back it. So find this project, back it before they end in 30 days. This is a good one.
I really like it. And then I was reading through their project, too. They've mentioned that this thing is ready to deliver. So I think they just need the minimum to order. So they would be, going back to the hardware studio, they would probably be ready level 3. They have it good to go, and they just need enough money so they can send it to the factory and mass produce them. I also like how this is, you know, it looks like your standard hinge. When I saw them, like, well, how is this different from your regular hinge? Where you don't need kind of any specialty things, because you probably run into this too, where you're like, oh, check out this cool, neat invention. You only have to install like three different things that normally aren't on a door to make it work.
Make it work, right, right. Hides in the back, and it just perfectly stops that door from hitting anything else it's not supposed to. I think it's brilliant.
Yep. So this one is a back for me, and it's a back for you. All right. So for our last project of the night, I know you just recently took a road trip, right? So did you take a cooler with you?
I did not.
But
I will next week. I'm taking another one next week. Ooh. I'll probably have a cooler.
Yeah, and so have you ever run into that issue, right? So are you taking one of the, like, the bigger ones that have wheels on
them? You just put a bunch of sandwich making stuff in it so you can drive farther.
Yeah. I mean, have you run into that situation where you've put all the stuff in and then you open it up the next time and you're like, sandwiches are like all smushed up because the mail bottle decided to cozy on over.
Soggy. They get so soggy. You're like, dang it.
Yeah, so this actually may be something you guys want. And this is the one you guys voted for. So it is called the Joey, and they call it the world's best cooler accessory with 5 amazing features. So what it is it's an actual insert that you put inside your cooler, and it has it has different compartments so you can put stuff into it. So it has 3 different compartments. So say you have all your soda and stuff, you can put it into the middle part. You can put your clean ice in one area, and then you can fill the bigger area with all the other ice. So that way you don't want to use dirty ice in your drinks to keep your drink cool, right?
No, it's always one or the other, right? It's always like you have a bag of ice for clean ice, or you dump it all out and keep everything cold.
Yeah. So it's this,
brilliant.
Yeah, this allows you to have that, and then it has another smaller container with it. And what's great about it is it comes with like a lid for the larger container area. So that way, if something like spills or something, it's still stuck in that one area, instead of going everywhere else. So what's great is, you know, it helps it store a little bit better, and then it helps keep stuff colder too. With that. So What the other thing is that lid, you can actually use it as a hygienic cutting board or prep surface because it's just this flat thing. And like in the video, they actually attach it somehow to the side of the of your cooler, and then we're using that to kind of cut apples and stuff with it.
Which you're always looking for something like that when you're out making food things. You're always looking for what you cut on.
Yeah, and the one thing that I was worried about was like, well, this insert seems a little big, right? Is it going to take away space? But it seems like they kind of broke it out. So they were using one of these Yeti 45, so one of those like nice coolers. They managed to hold 9 sandwiches, 4 bananas, a pack of bacon, 1.6 pounds of clean ice, and then 6 12-ounce cans. So that's half a fridge pack of that. And then they still had room in the cooler for an additional 10-pound bag of ice and 6 bottles of water if you wanted that. Which I really like. That's why I love this. Is like it's not just for one brand too, because they made sure they were compatible with a whole bunch of different coolers. And I'm trying to find the list. So yeah, so the Yeti Tundras, the 35, 45, 50, 65, 75, 105, 110, 125. I have no idea what any of that means. But Cabela's, Coleman's, Canyon's, Grizzlies, Maluna, Orca, Pelican. Ooh, can we stick this in a Pelican case?
I'd fly with it. I'd be like, that's my fly pack. I just gotta have it.
Which, like, that's what I love about it. And then even if they don't list it there, they give you kind of measuring instructions to see if it's going to fit in your cooler. And I really like this. I like the design of it. I like how they've kind of organize this stuff. Like, could you see yourself getting this for a cooler?
Yeah, it just sounds like it makes a much more efficient space, because otherwise it's just a matter of like layering things and stacking as much as you can, pour the ice over it and hope it lasts. I feel like this is very organized and giving a place to be like segregate your stuff so that it stays hygienic, clean, and I love this. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, like the one thing that always annoys me, and that's why I don't actually I know we have a cooler. We might even have two of the kind of the bigger coolers. I hate using them just because I know whatever I put in there, if it's soft, it's just going to get crushed by the drinks. Or it's just like when I pull something out, it's just going to be soaking wet because I had to put ice in there to keep it cool. Or I'm not going to have ice I can use in a drink. I really love it. So at the $45 is their early backer, and $53 is their non-early backer, and that's about 10% cheaper. So it's going to be about $60, right? $60, $65-ish retail. Would you pay for that?
If I was having a very good summer, I think I'd pay for that. I think I would. I like the what it adds. It's also one of those things that I think as part of a Kickstarter, that's the time that I would be more likely to get it for that, for the deal.
Yeah.
Save the money.
I think it's worth it because people pay a lot of money for their coolers. Like that's something I didn't know. Like let's look at this Yeti Tundra 35. I think Yeti is kind of like a top of the line company for coolers, and that's a $250 cooler.
Oh my gosh, are you serious? $250 for a cooler?
Yeah.
People.
I just looked it up. $250. It has a 20 can capacity. You know, $60 more is not that bad to keep it organized and not crush my stuff.
Right, not at that point. That's crazy.
Yeah, so is this a backtrack or sack for you?
Well, I think it's a back for me. I think that it's solving enough of a problem that it makes sense to have this versatility with any cooler. So, I could see this being quite helpful and worth it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So this one's a back for me too, because I really like it, and I love how they've thought of all the different situations that you can have. I love even just that mixed ice thing. I never thought about it, but I'm like, yeah, that totally makes sense. I mean, that's why I usually leave my ice in a bag, but then it doesn't keep everything fully cool. So that is a back for me. All right, Drew, now it is time for our sack of the week.
I love the sack of the week.
All right, so this project, I'm going to tell you now so you don't have to back it, Drew. I don't think it's a bad idea. I just think the implementation of this project page is horrible. So it is called Anything for $1,000. And Tony Lin has posted this saying, I will do at most 1,000 tasks suggested by 1,000 backers for $1,000 and create a video on it. Okay, so he's obviously looking to...
decent concept.
Yeah,
decent
concept. He's looking to raise $1,000. And then this is where it gets me is his description. So it's about, I have a tendency to fulfill dares suggested by my friends just for fun. I will fulfill the tasks you give me, make them unrealistic, hard, and most importantly, entertaining for a video production. I'll show everyone all the suggestions for tasks I was given to do for those that are interested. Fund this project to give me something to do. If when this project gets funded, I'll set up some sort of form for you where tasks can be submitted. And then I know there will be some of you that will give me almost unrealistic tasks to do, but I will find a way to deliver. And, you know, he has pledge levels. $1 is $1 more, unlimited suggestions for tasks. You get a suggest task for me to do, and I'll consider any of them. The $3, I will definitely do one task for you. You give me as long as they don't end up costing over $3 to do, LOL. Same for 10, you get 5 tasks. 20, you get 20 tasks, which, what? This price breakdown is doesn't work.
Okay, so I got to jump back over to the comments because one of the only comment that's there has a couple of ideas of like how to execute this. My favorite is rapid fire, nothing like one task per hour, and then they put, I want to see pie in the face, and then bang out 15 burpees, kick to the nads, bang out 15 burpees, ice bucket challenge, bang out 15 burpees. You got to work for it. They're already thinking of like how they want to make this guy like make it interesting for film. Like, it's brilliant. I guess I'm a little concerned. He's only got $2 pledged of the $1,000 goal, but he has 30 days left. I feel like it's a fun idea. I wonder if he just did this on a dare, right? Because like you were saying, it's not really all that well put together. I think with a little bit of traction, a little bit of, you know, thought behind it, this could be like a really fun anything for $1,000. It's almost too easy, too simplistic.
Yeah.
Hey, I do stuff.
Yeah, that's what bugs me about this is because I'm like, this is a cool idea, but the way you've laid everything out is, since you've left everything super open for interpretation. So like, what if I backed $1 and said, hey, I need you to eat a hamburger in like a minute? And he's like, oh, that's not realistic. I'm just going to eat a piece of cheese in under a minute.
Right, you don't have any confidence that he's going to actually do your task.
Yeah, and you know, this is a pet peeve of mine where he says he's going to make a entertaining video. That means you probably have had experience in making entertaining videos. You want to show me an example?
Yeah, that's right. At this point, I would love to see some sort of example that says, here's some stuff from my YouTube channel. Here's some stuff I've made already. I would love to make this into a video. Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah, because his... not to hate on him, his Photoshop game's not on point. This looks like he did it in paint.
It does look like paint. So I love the idea, though. I really feel like, you know, it's a fun project to basically raise $1,000 to do 1,000 things. I find that quite enjoyable and kind of fun. I agree, though. The way that it's been executed is a little sacky.
Yep. And then so before we go, I want to follow up. So I know you made sure that other guy, the World of Warcraft guy, got his money. Has he even posted an update, or have you heard anything from him yet?
Matter of fact, so just to recap for those who didn't hear last week, our stack of the week was a sweet man named JD Worcester, and he was trying to raise, was it 20 bucks? He wanted to raise 20,
yeah, 20 bucks
so he could record and learn how to edit World of Warcraft videos with him and his girlfriend. And so he wanted to raise money for editing software, music for the editing, and possibly some snacks and treats while they edit. So we called that our stack of the week. We talk about it. We kind of ran through the project and how it was like unrealistic and kind of weird, not really fully thought through. And then while we were in the middle of discussing that, I finished up backing it. So I took it over the hump to 20 bucks. So it funded. And here's the follow-up. I indeed did email him a comment and talk to him and say, hey, shoot me an email if you want to know the answers, because I teach this stuff. I can tell you where to find the free edit software and all the music you need, and you can spend the $20 on snacks and treats. So sure enough, he sent me an email. I recorded him a 15-minute video where I explained some of the key things to remember when you're starting a YouTube channel, and he wrote back just today and said, let's see if I have it here. He basically said, thank you very much, and I appreciate your I appreciate very much your help. He got my message. He said, it's so awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time to help me get started with video editing. I really appreciate it. So there you go. There's your follow-up. I gave him free tips.
Yeah, you know, this is why teachers are poor, right?
I could have sold all that.
You just gave him a $150 course for free. Actually, no, you gave him money and gave him.
I paid him $15 to take my course for free. Well, I felt like the questions you were asking, they were so simple that I was like, oh, well, here's your answer. You use HitFilm Express for editing because it's free, and here's YouTube's Creator Studio where they have free music, and it's all there. Go make
some. I'm excited to see this video now, his videos that he put together.
And have to follow him and keep track.
Because I know you were sad that the Gold Flake water didn't fund.
Yeah, that was the saddest thing, because I wanted 24 karat gold water and it didn't fund.
Because this is like a meta game now. It's like, is KT's sack of the week that he'd pick something that Drew's going to end up backing?
That's what you picked one with $1,000 gold, so I couldn't feasibly
like I said, I like
it. I'll give you $1,000.
It's like, I really like this one. It's just a terrible implementation. That's what I want.
I'm proud to say our stack of the week has been in contact. I did not mention the show. I did not talk about or tell him.
That's probably for the best.
Helped him out. Red Cross just helped him out. So.
And then when he becomes the next PewDiePie, I'll just have to eat my words.
We'll see.
Because I know that's how it works. But unfortunately, guys, this is the end of our episode. We are at 135 episodes. So if you guys have been listening from day one, thank you. And if this is your first time listening, welcome. We love you both. And we always encourage you guys to be in the chat room and have live chats. Hopefully by the next time we record, I'll have the title system so you can actually suggest titles for the episode.
That would be nice. And that's like my only job after the show, is that I come up with a title while KT writes all the teaser and stuff. So if we could get title suggestions out of the chat.
Yeah, we're totally outsourcing this.
I could be awesome. Yeah, the other thing I would love to see, and you guys got to keep on KT about this, send him notes, tweet him, get on him, because we got to set up some sort of a Patreon so that we can deliver more content and try to afford some of the infrastructure costs.
Yeah,
so,
and quick update, and I don't know why Twitch didn't send me an email. We are up to 5 Twitch subscribers now. And remember, last episode, I promised you, if we get to 10 Twitch episodes, Drew and I will record a extra thing where he and I will be eating tacos and doing something. They're not going to be nice tacos because it's only $10 and I only get 5 of it. They're probably going to be Taco Tuesday tacos from Taco Bell or something. But we'll eat tacos and we'll, you know, record like a quick 15-minute thing. And I promise you, as we go up in numbers of subscribers, the tacos will get better. But right now,
we can do this with your help.
Yeah. You guys will help fund our taco eating fund that, you know,
what we'll make for you.
All right. So if you guys have any projects, Sacks of the Week's projects you want us to talk about, kick shouts, or you just want to say hi to us, shoot us an email, kickcast@ktdata.net, or leave it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/doubleburst. Kickcast. Oh man, I have way too many URLs because I just renewed all of them the other day and they're just all in. So yeah, kickcast.net for that. And you know, you can also tweet us at kickcast for the show, at night20 and at KTData. All of those start with K's. No, we're not racist.
thanks for pointing that out.
So for that. And we will always love seeing that. And our show notes and everything are all linked at kickcast.net. Because I'm stupid and named all my shows similarly. So Drew, do you got anything to plug before we go?
Real quick, my documentary has another screening in the Park City International Film Festival. So anybody that's local or nearby can come join us on Friday the 15th of June up in Park City. I believe it's at 11 o'clock. They're screening Windows of Change in the library there as part of the International Film Festival. So that's pretty awesome. I'm excited about that.
Whoa, we just went on another sub point. Four more until we'll have talking tacos or something, because I think Taco Time's copywritten.
So that's it. That's all a pitch right there. And then, I'm working on, with my Studio 76 team, I'm working on some projection mapping for the Ziegfeld's production of Tommy, the Who's Tommy. So if you come up and see Tommy at Zieg, we're doing all of the projections in the background for that.
I'm still sad that you didn't convince your students to do a documentary on drywall.
Look at that. I could write the grant.
We want to make a YouTube channel on DIY drywall.
Learning the art of finishing Drew's basement.
It's going to be amazing. All right, guys. We will see you all in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Night chat.